We're turning in God's Word this morning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, the epistle just there toward the end of the New Testament. We will be recommencing our series in Matthew, in the will of the Lord, in the next few weeks, and continuing through that systematically over January, February, March, and April in the morning services. But I feel that the Lord would have this message for this morning, 1 John chapter 1, and let's read this passage. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for what has taken place already in this service today. We are so glad we can sing those words, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. We thank thee for the hope that there is in Christ. We thank thee for the plans he has for each one of his people. We pray, Lord, that we will be found in the center of his will. And as we come to this passage this morning, we pray, O Lord, the hush of eternity will come across our gathering. We pray that distractions will be taken away. And we pray that we will hear the voice of God today. Because, Lord, what a tragedy it would be if we left this place and God had not spoken. I pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, and may I be given help in the preaching of thy truth. And may signs follow the preaching of thy word for the glory of thy name. Lord, bless us today. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The verse that I want to leave before you this morning is a verse that's very familiar. I'm sure many of you could quote it without looking at the words. And it's found in verse number 9. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a wonderful verse. It's often heard in prayer meetings. It's a verse that we often teach even to children because of the very clear method of the joy of sins forgiven. It's by confession of our sin unto the Lord. And of course, we know that that is done in faith. In confession of sin, we repent from that sin and the Lord cleanses us from our unrighteousness. But it's important to look at the context of the verse. And we can use it as a gospel verse, but it was not given originally as a gospel verse, because this epistle was written to believers. And therefore, the first thought I have this morning is the recipients of the verse. Now, in the first four verses of chapter number 1 of 1 John, John is speaking to those to whom he's writing. And he says there in verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John has declared the word of God, the word of life, unto this people. And they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And becoming Christians, becoming believers of the word of God, this has resulted in a life of fellowship. And there's a twofold fellowship. First of all, there's fellowship with God. For it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that also elsewhere in Scripture, it tells us upon conversion that the Spirit of God is given and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we are brought into fellowship with God upon our salvation. But let's not neglect to see the truth that we also are brought into fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ upon our conversion. Because it says there in verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now the most important fellowship that we can have is our fellowship with God, our relationship with God, our union with God. And that fellowship, the word fellowship there, which results in being saved and having that union with the Lord, that word fellowship, it means social intercourse, communication, or communion. The idea there is of relationship. It's the idea of friendship. It's the idea of communicating. It's from a word which means to be a companion or to share with another person or to be an associate of them. And whenever we are in fellowship with God, then we are the companion of the Lord. We are walking with him as friend with friend. We share with him our burdens, and he shares with us his word and his blessings. We are an associate of our God, his representative here on earth. But this is also true of fellowship one with another. Because how great it is to have friends in Christ, to be companions together, to have that likeness and to have that similar interest in the things of God, to be able to share the burdens of life and the joys of life with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be associated with those who belong to the Lord. And how blessed and privileged we are, first of all, to have fellowship with God, but also to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, not every brother and sister in Christ will be in agreement with each other on different issues, secondary issues. There are differences of opinion, for example, around the return of the Lord. Many good and godly men differ in what they would preach or what they would believe regarding this particular area. But having our unity and agreement in the fundamentals of the faith, in the cleansing of sin by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the atoning work of God, by the covenant of grace, all of those things that are non-negotiable for the salvation of a sinner, having unity there, we can have fellowship with one another. And in Scripture, we are urged to have fellowship with one another. Look there at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And here we read of the basis of walking in fellowship with one another. We first must be walking in fellowship and obedience to God. That's what it means, if we walk in the light. Now, he is light. His word is light. And if we walk in the light, in obedience with him, in the footsteps of the Savior, then there will be that fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the unity of the church of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of God's people is very, very precious. And there's a great responsibility in every Christian in this meeting this morning to contribute to that unity. And you do so by walking in the light, by walking in obedience to the Lord. And the promise is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, that's a wonderful statement. And in preaching the gospel, I often use that statement as a teaching of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all sin can be dealt with through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, this verse is written to believers. And therefore, this cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is spoken here in verse number 7 is not the cleansing that brings justification. It's not talking about a cleansing for salvation, because that's a once-for-all act that takes place at the moment of our conversion. However, it's a cleansing from the sins that we commit as believers, sins that mar and spoil our fellowship with God. And I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because often this is confused. We cannot lose our relationship with God. If you're saved this morning by repenting from your sin and trusting in the finished work of the Savior, you cannot be saved. And let me tell you why. Because it was the Lord who drew you unto Himself. It was the Lord, by His grace, that gave you the gifts of faith and repentance that were exercised in your life. It was the Lord that saved you, and what the Lord has done cannot be undone. The works of the Lord are eternal. We cannot lose our relationship with God, but we can lose our fellowship with the Lord. We can lose our joy as a Christian. We can lose our usefulness. Think of a parent who is out in public and their child is being unruly. They're being rude. They're being undisciplined. They're still their parent's child, but the smile of approval is not upon them from their parent. The parent isn't proud of that child. The parent isn't pleased with that child, but the relationship is still there. And the Word of God brings us this morning to the problem identified in this text. It's a problem of sin in the life of the Christian. The problem of sin in the life of a Christian. Look what it says. If we confess our sins, and we do not really know the depth of our heart, and we really do not know many of the sins that we commit on a daily basis in thought and in word and in deed. Martin Luther said, "Nothing is easier than sinning." Nothing is easier than sinning, because it's a natural thing to do. D.L. Moody said, "I have had more trouble with myself than with any other man." And any believer who is going to be honest before God this morning will say that the greatest trouble they have in life is trying to walk with the Lord and keep from sinning. And how often we feel. John Calvin said, "No one knoweth the 100th part of the sin that clings to his life." You see, the great problem of sin. Why is sin a problem in the life of a believer? Well, I'll tell you why. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. God's way, God's will is being transgressed. It's being broken. You see, whenever you sin, you go against God's word. When you sin, you go against God's will. You go against God's way. And you say, maybe not with your lips, but with your life, Christian, living in sin, you say, "I believe that my way is better than God's. I don't agree with God that the way to blessing is holiness. I'm going to go this way." And such attitude and sin offends a holy God. Such attitude and sin marks a Christian's life. Do you know that the world, the ungodly, often have a higher standard for the Christian than they do for themselves? They expect a Christian to be holy. They expect a Christian to be different, sometimes to a higher degree than the very Christian himself. But such sin and attitude mars our fellowship with God. We think of Psalm 51. And David had to pray that the joy of his salvation would be restored unto him. Why? Because he'd lost it. He had gone, for most Bible commentators believe, over a year out of fellowship with God. A year out of fellowship with God. What's this year going to be for you, Christian? Is this going to be a year of you walking with God, or is this going to be a year of out of fellowship with God? Look what it says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins. Let's be very mindful of that small word, the word our. This is made personal by the writer. This is made personal by the Holy Spirit. It's easy to spot sin in others. It's easy to spot things that we don't like in other people's lives. It's actually easy to assume that there's sin in someone's life that's not actually there, simply because we think we perceive something. But to find sin in our own lives, we need the help of God. We sang a few moments ago, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." And in this meeting this morning, in the presence of God, I want to ask you some questions. Christian, I want to ask you these questions. I've asked myself these questions in preparation for this message. Has there been some besetting sin in your life over this past year that has drained you of your zeal, robbed you of your blessing, and crippled you in your service? Has there been some attitude or resentment against God or man that has affected your brightness for the Lord and your closeness to Him? Has there been an excusing of sin in your life that you lament in others' lives? Has there been hours spent longing after sin that you know will bring no satisfaction to your soul, but hours wasted longing for sin, thinking about sin, planning for sin? Perhaps that sin has been engaged in. And if you're honest before God in this service, you feel empty, ashamed, and far from God. Have you prayed in this past year, "Search me, O God, and know my heart"? This is personal. I ask myself these questions, and I've answered before God. What about you? I don't think we understand how wicked sin is. I don't think we understand how serious sin is, how abhorrent it is in the sight of a holy God. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, wrote these words: "Sin is the dare of God's justice, the rape of His mercy, the jeer of His patience, the slight of His power, and the contempt of His love." And dear Christian, when you sin, you show contempt for the love of Christ. Martin Luther put it in this way: sin is essentially a departure from God. And if there's sin in your life, you're not walking with God. You're far off. You're in Bypath Meadow. You're going a different direction. My friend, this is a great problem. Now look what it says in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. There's not one believer here can say, "I live 2020 in a perfect way. I'm a perfect example. Everybody should look at me and be more like me." And there's not one of us, from the preacher in the pulpit to the person in the back pew, not one of us. But we know the struggle and the daily struggle with sin. Not only do we see the people identified and the problem identified, we see the character of God described here. Because it tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. He will not fail to keep His word. He will not fail to fulfill His promise. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "Faithful is He that calleth you and will also do it." The God who saved you is faithful. And therefore, if you come this morning and say, "Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Lord, I'm confessing it before You this morning," He is faithful. He will fulfill His promise. You do not need to go on feeling that emptiness, dear Christian. You do not need to go on feeling that guilt and that filth in your life. You do not need to go on feeling that you're far from the Lord. But you can depend on the faithfulness of God. He will hear your cry. He will answer your prayer. And He will cleanse you this morning from all unrighteousness. Not only is he faithful, but praise God, he is just. And the word just there, it means he's holy and he is right. And when we think of the fact that God is holy, you cannot expect to have fellowship with the Lord if you will not confess your sin. You can't come with unclean hands before God and that sin that pollutes your life and expect to have the smile of God upon you. God is holy. God is just. He will do what is right. If you confess that sin, nothing can separate you from God. You cannot have a closer walk with God if you're not honest before God, if you do not obey his command. Look what it says in verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And what is being said there is if there's a Christian who is walking in known sin, open sin, or secret sin for that matter, but, oh, you know, I'm walking with God and pressing on the upward way, and, oh, I'm faithful at my church and the prayer meetings, but there's some sin in their life, you are not in fellowship with him. Now, you're his child, but you are not in fellowship with him. And this is the question we're asking this morning. Are you in fellowship with God? Is your heart right before God? Are your hands clean before God? Is your mind pure before God? Not only is he faithful, not only is he just, but he is a forgiving God, because it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is a forgiving God. Now, the word forgiving means to send away. And what a beautiful picture that is, because whenever God forgives our sin, it's cast away out of our presence, out of our record. He cleanses you from the power of sin, from the pollution of sin, and from the penalty of it. Because while a Christian cannot be condemned to hell, if he continues in his sin, he will suffer the chastisement of a loving Heavenly Father. And that's not pleasant, and that's not easy to bear, but out of love, God chastens us that we will not go any further, that we will have turned back to him, that our lives wouldn't be marked by sin, that our testimony wouldn't be ruined, and thus the Lord defamed by our lives, but that we would be used to show something of his holiness and his character. He is a forgiving God. He's a cleansing God. And as we look at that, it says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word cleansing, it means to make clean or to purify. And perhaps this morning, you're sitting with guilt in your heart as a believer over sin you've committed this week, over sin that you committed yesterday, over last year, over maybe many years. There's something and you feel guilty about it. Well, praise God, he will cleanse away that guilt. He will cleanse away that shame to give you a joy and a boldness to come into his presence. And can I say something this morning? Only God can do these things. And we're here on the 1st of January, and we hear about resolutions, and there'll be newspaper articles about it, and television programs about it, and the talk around the work time will be, what is your resolution? But in Scripture, we're never asked to turn over a new leaf or to make resolutions or to try better. We're asked to seek the Lord for that cleansing in our lives that will result in sweet fellowship, blessing, and Christ-likeness in our walk. And therefore, this morning, I don't want to know what your resolutions are. I want to know this. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Is there sweet fellowship between you and your Savior? Is the blessing of the Lord upon you? Is there a Christ-likeness in your life? Do you know that you're growing like your Savior? Only the Lord can make that change. Then we see the responsibility of the individual, because it says, if we confess our sins. And the responsibility on the part of the Christian is that they confess their sins. Now, whenever we read a pardon or cleansing in the Scripture, there is always confession of sin. We think of Psalm 51. We've already mentioned it. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But in that psalm, the psalmist also wrote, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I wonder, dear believer, when's the last time in your life you came before God and said, Lord, I have sinned against thee today? What I've done has discredited thee. That's not an easy thing to say, but I'll tell you, it's something that has to be done. True confession. To confess means to be in agreement with God. It's not just a recognition, yes, we have all sinned, but it is a confession of that sin, which of course implies repentance of sin. Keep your hand there and turn with me just to one verse in Proverbs chapter 28. And in Proverbs 28, we see the importance of this matter. And it says there in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I want to say, dear believer, this morning, if you cover your sin, whether by excuse, whether by calling it something else, whether being in disagreement with God and thinking it's okay in your life, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper. And this, of course, is talking of spiritual prosperity. Because there's many a person through sin prospered financially or in the position of power. But dear believer, if you cover your sin, you will not prosper. The peace of God will not be your experience. The blessing of obedience will not be your experience. Usefulness in the Master's service will not be your experience. Victory will not be your experience. Joy will not be your experience. You can put on a show for a little while. You may struggle through coming to meetings and doing whatever work, but you will not prosper spiritually. And sadly, there are some who get to a state of apathy. Christians, I'm talking about. Carelessness. Being disillusioned with the church, with the people of God, with the ways of God. They start to blame everyone and everything, pointing out all the problems and all the flaws, but the reality is they've neglected this principle. They haven't confessed their sin. They haven't kept short account with God. And they're living in rebellion. And because of the lack of joy and the lack of going on with God, there's a hardness in their heart. And when they speak about the church or the work of God or the people of God, it's nothing but bitterness. It's nothing but bitterness. How do I defeat bitterness in my life? How do I defeat apathy in my life? How do I defeat a hard heart? How do I defeat that disillusionment with the work of God or with a Christian life? I confess my sin unto the Lord. You see, the sad reality is there's some people enjoy being bitter. And there's some people enjoy, to some degree, in a carnal manner, the hardness of their heart. I'll do this and nobody will tell me what to do. But the sad reality is this. They stand with unclean hands and an unclean heart, an affront to God's salvation and a hindrance on the work of God. Friend, you need to keep a short account with God. You need to make sure that you do not depart from God's ways. Keep your heart right. Keep your hands clean. Confess your sin morning, noon, and night. As soon as you've done something and the Spirit of God puts his finger upon it, confess it before the Lord. And the final thought is this as we close. The state to be desired, because it says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that results in brightness for the Lord. Have you ever met someone that's just been a blessing? They're on fire, you might say. They're shining for the Lord. There's that just brightness about their Christian life. Why? It's because they're cleansed from all unrighteousness. The Spirit of God is full control. This will also result in blessing. Because when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. It results in boldness. Because you see, if you're trying to speak to someone about their soul and their sin in your life, there'll be no boldness for you to go and do that. And friend, many a believer doesn't step forward to do a work for the Lord. And many a believer doesn't go and tell someone they need to be saved because they know rightly their life isn't right where it ought to be. But I'll tell you this, if you have clean hands and a pure heart, there's that boldness that what God has done for me, He can do for others. There's a blessing of being in fellowship with God. Not having that guilt that God is disapproving and you've grieved the Spirit of God, but rather that the smile of God is upon you. And then there's that blessing of being in the family of God. Isn't it wonderful to come into God's house and to be able to look each brother and sister in the eye and say, "How are you? Good to see you. Sit down and worship the Lord." What a burden it must be for people to come in who can't look each other in the eye, who avoid each other, who have a grudge against each other. The devil's there. Getting a victory, getting a division in the Church of Jesus Christ. Confess your sin. Pray that the Lord would cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Nothing between me and God. Nothing between me and man. And oh, the blessing the family of God will be to you. And then finally, having clean hands and a pure heart, you will be used by God for His glory. You will be used by God for His glory. Whether in the home, as you raise your family, whether in the workplace, as you do all things unto the glory of God, whether in your school, as you stand in a light in a dark place, whether in your community, as you walk up the street, as you go about your business, into the shops, into the bank, into the post office, those basic things, Christ will shine through you. Clean hands and a pure heart. But notice the first word. If. Now, how are you going to leave God's house this morning? I challenge you, Christian, are you going to leave with some matter that's unresolved between you and the Lord? Whenever God has shown His faithfulness, His justice, and His willingness to cleanse you, or are you going to say, "Lord, this is the problem in my life. And I confess its hold over me. I confess its strength. I confess that I have not gotten victory over it. I confess I have enjoyed it to some degree. But Lord, I pray You'll make it bitter to my taste. And I pray, Lord, You'll cleanse me and from all unrighteousness, that I will be a channel of blessing through which You can flow." If there's anybody not saved this morning, I apply this verse to you. Because if you're not saved, you're marred by sin. There's a record of sin that's going to meet you when you open your eyes in eternity. Hell, because of sin. The judgment bar, you will stand before God and the record of your life and of your sin will be opened and everything will be made manifest and you will be known as you are known. And you need to be saved if you confess your sin. Only He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because He has died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood as a substitute for sinners. He rose again for justification. He is the one who is able to save, mighty to save. And therefore, confess your sin to Him. Call upon Him for salvation, cleansing in the blood. And start this year clean, right before God. Our closing hymn this morning is a prayer, and I trust that even as we sing it, God's people will get right with Him. 416, oh, for a closer walk with God. Calm and a heavenly free, I'm a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. I say in closing as we sing this morning, don't let the devil rob you this year of the blessing of God. Don't let any sin hinder you Don't let any sin be held by you that will rob you of the blessing of God. But this morning, confess it and walk in the freshness and the fellowship and the joy of the center of the will of God. May God give us grace to do so for his sake. Let's sing this together. Let's stand and sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and we acknowledge, Lord, that as Thy people, having studied this verse, O Lord, how often we have overlooked sin in our lives, and how often, Lord, we've been in disagreement with Thee, and how often, O Lord, we've wasted the blessings that Thou hast given to us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will give us a sensitivity to sin. Oh Lord, give us a hatred of it, that when it comes into our lives, or when it tempts us, or whenever we fall, that Lord, we will want to repent of it and get it cleansed immediately. Lord, we all struggle. Lord, we all have that daily battle, the old nature and the new man. But we pray for victory, O Lord, victory in Jesus Christ that's promised to us. And we pray that, O Lord, if there's one in this gathering who's not yet saved, that they will get the matter of their sins dealt with this morning. If there's some dear saint of God, and O Lord, there's some sin they're holding to or not willing to give up, we pray, O Lord, you'll challenge them. Don't allow them to continue on harboring that which would mar their fellowship with thee. And Lord, we pray for Holy Ghost unity. Brother and brother, sister and sister, between us and thee, that the power of the Lord might fall and the kingdom of God extended. Save us from ourselves, we pray. Oh Lord, help us to walk close with thee in the light, cleansed from all sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.